Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from the New Testament, the book of Philippians, Paul's letter to the church of Philippi, to the believers there, followers of Christ. And he says this in chapter 4, beginning of verse 11. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything, he says, through Christ who gives me strength. You know, I wonder if Wes ever really existed in this world at all. I never got his last name. We exchange a few words in a few minutes. Yet, his impact on me from 30 years ago continues to this very day. Some might say our meeting that day was only a chance encounter or a coincidence. They'd be wrong, very wrong. It was a God-appointed moment. There have been many times through the years since then when I have remembered my limping friend Wes and the lesson from my brief encounter with him on that day so long ago has guided me many times since, usually just when I needed it again, like the other day. I'd had a slight lapse a few days ago, facing something before me. I was viewing my day as half empty or even less. Why did that have to happen? Wondering why me? And thinking, if only this hadn't happened. I was struggling with my perspective, and I allowed worry to replace trust in God. Maybe you've been there. But that's when I remember my friend Wes, or should I say, that's when God poked me with the memory of my friend Wes. As I said, it's been 30 years since he and I had met. It was the year that I was governor for Kiwanis for the state of Florida. And I haven't seen him since, nor had I ever seen him before. My dear friend Jake from North Palm Beach, who I was with at the time, had just finished a long day planning an upcoming Florida Kiwanis State Convention in Southwest Florida, and we decided to play late afternoon round of golf for at least 9 holes before it got dark and we returned to our hotel. I started off playing pretty well. I was playing a good bit back then. I hit a good drive, and then a 7-iron, which put me within 10 feet of birdie on the first green. And then, despite the blessings of beautiful surroundings, a dear friend, good health, my pity party began as I missed the putt for birdie. On the next hole, a dogleg to the right, my ball found the rough twice, and I ended up with a bogey. A double bogey followed on the next hole. Well, my attitude was now fully in the tank, and my outlook was not even close to half full or even half empty. Something much lower than that. I saw to it that all friendly conversation had ground to a halt with my friend Jake, as irritation now fully consumed me. I learned later that Jake began praying right about then for a miracle to intervene to change my perspective. And then he appeared from nowhere. Wes, we learned, was his name. Neither Jake nor I remember seeing him behind us on the course before that moment, but there he was, all of a sudden, coming from out of nowhere, playing by himself, and standing back on the distant tee box of the par 3 we were playing, waving to us and asking through that if he could play through us. We'd already hit our balls and were up on the green. At least Jake's ball was on the green. And consistent with my round so far, my ball had buried itself within a greenside bunker. Good luck getting that out. Jake signaled for him to hit his ball to the green of the hole we were playing, and then he finished and played on to the next hole. But you know, while we were watching Wes approach after he hit his tee shot on that par 3 and was approaching from the tee box toward the green, we noticed a marked limp in his stride. And as he drew closer, the reason for the limp became apparent. He had only one leg, the other having been replaced by a prosthetic device. In that instant, my pity party swirled to a halt. He only had one leg, and yet there he was, choosing to enjoy life to the fullest. The moment not only changed my perspective for the rest of that afternoon and into the evening, it changed my heart and perspective for good. And although I've had momentary lapses since, many of them, I vowed right then to never again allow the circumstances of my life to determine my attitude and my future, but instead to claim the eternal perspective of hope for each day of my life and for the rest of my life that is set before me by my risen Savior. To this day, Jake still believes that Wes was an angel sent at that very moment in answer to his prayers for a miracle. It wouldn't surprise me one bit. That's the way God works. He came from out of nowhere, and we'll have to wait to ask to find out for sure who he was. But what I do know for sure is this, that amidst the winds and the storms of life that beat and blast us, and the gnats and the elephants that seem to bug and bother, bite and beat us down, among the world which too often seems to see the disastrous, doubtful, draining, defeated side of every circumstance in life rather than all we can be, I choose to see life as Wes chose to see it. A life full of all the potential and possibilities set before me, and to live on content in whatever circumstances I might find myself with Christ who strengthens me. I still have moments where I start to slip into disappointment and despair. But then I embrace life as my bride of 53 years embraces it and sees it, realizing that even though her arthritis is always there, and if she does things, it's going to cripple her for a few days, it never stops her from spending time with her family and friends. It doesn't stop her from gardening or yard work or playing with granddaughters or helping neighbors and friends, or even these days making face masks galore for family, friends, and neighbors, even though her hands and fingers get swollen and ache for days afterwards. I choose to see life as my gentle, loving, and strong mother-in-law chose to see it, Linda's mom, while she was still here with us, older and racked with too many ailments to remember. She always wanted to know first how you were, because she always said she was fine, no matter what. And so I choose to see life not based upon human shortcomings and human failings, because I have plenty of them, but instead upon God-ordained human possibility, content with the strength of God's presence in my life. How about you? How do you choose to see and live life? Thanks to Wes and so many others' example in my life, I choose to see life through the lenses of God's love and grace for me, a life full of God's message to us all of salvation, of redemption, and freedom to become with Him all who He intends for us to be. I choose to see life as striving to live as God would want me to live, as He sets out in His Word, but also knowing that when I fall short, which I often and regularly do, He always reaches down through His amazing grace and picks me up and sets my feet on the path, back on a solid rock to press on with Him. I choose to see that with and through Christ, I can press on through anything I face, and with His strength and encouragement, I do all things He sets before me to do with Him and in His strength. How about you? How do you choose to see and live life in the midst of all the stuff going on in your life and in the world around you? Because it's your choice. How you choose to do it, how you choose to see it and live life. What kind of impact will you have on others? Will you add value to their lives or take value from their lives? Will you lift them or lower them? Will others feel better having been in your presence or worse? Finally, I choose to see life as my Lord and Savior set it before me, full of hope and purpose, and with His promise of an eternal relationship with Him, a life with His call upon all of us to impact the world everywhere for good. And with all the stuff going on in the world, anger and bitterness, distrust, violence, whatever, and all the continuing uncertainty of COVID-19 popping up among family and friends when we least expect it. Yet even then, we can trust. We can be content because we know God's got us. Even then, like Wes, we can press on. Maybe with a limp because of something in our health. Maybe we've gotten older and we don't go as fast. Or because a limp because of some disappointment in our lives. Or a limp because of some setback or the loss of a loved one. But never, never a limp in our spirit. Because God's got us and is over all. And we can and will press on with him. Not settling for less than we were created to be, but content and trusting in all that God wants for our lives, we press on in his strength and claim all we can be. So, no matter the circumstances of your day or in the world around us, no matter how the golf game is going or how your day is unfolding before you, may I suggest that we, you and I, choose to see life as my friend, the angel Wes, saw it. A life always full of hope and possibility, content and trusting in the strength, the hope, and the love of Christ. And a life which shares that love and hope of Christ with others as God lifts the world around us. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this time just to pause and reflect on you. Thank you for the memory in my life of Wes. Thank you that we can share it, and I pray that we all can embrace that example. The example of others in our lives, Lord, who show us how to live the life that you created us to live. Content, not content or satisfied, not accepting, but content knowing you're there and what you want for our lives, and that through your strength we can move out and be all that you created us to be. Thanks, in the midst of plenty and want, that you are always there, helping us to continue to move out and become all you want us to be. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for the promise that you are with us now and will be with us the days ahead as we, with you, touch the world for their good and all for your glory. And it's your Son's precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.